Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Carry him. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. What I'm whipping up, look how I'm geeking up. I'm so pretty, I'm on Gucci, I'm so pretty,
yeah,
I'm gonna get it. Watch me move, this is belly, that's cool,
yeah.
On my Kodak, black, ooh, know that,
yeah,
ooh, get it, yeah,
yeah,
ooh, work it. 100 bands, 100 bands, 100 bands. Contraband, contraband, contraband,
contraband.
I got the plug on who a hawker.
Whoa,
they gonna find you like Baka. Blah.
America, I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Thanks, bye. Wow. New York, just like I pictured it. Skyscrapers and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, sis.
Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you wanna make yourself $5, man? Yeah, bro. Hey, look here, run this
fucking speed
for me right quick, okay? Run this fucking speed for me. What? Huh? I don't know.
What?
I'm just going
across
the street.
Drag your mouth.
Pause, no.
What'd
I do?
Turn around. Put the hands behind your back.
Let's go.
The
jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Come on. Get in that cell, nigga.
God. No.
Black Sister Talk, where you can grieve, a community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, aka your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Miss Wanda, your therapist, favorite therapist, giving you another unfiltered, candid conversation. And I am so happy to have another opportunity to intrigue, provoke thought, and lift someone up today and hope that you are able to learn something from this show that's going to help you in your future. I want to give a quick disclaimer. If you're new to the Black Sisters community, I welcome you. I want you to know that you can be safe and yourself. This is a space created for Black women to breathe. I practice this thoroughly and openly, and I suggest that you do the same. No need to have it all figured out, because I'm here to help you recognize the light within you and want you to see yourself shine the way that I do. So, let's be free. I also want to mention to everyone that even though this is a Black Sister community for Black women, everyone is welcome here. We want you to learn how to protect and respect us as well. So what better way to get to know Black women than to hear their voices and understand their plight? So I welcome everyone to this community so that they can learn how to be a better version of themselves and how to be kinder people to us as well. So without further ado, we are going to be free on this Saturday. I know this is Men's Mental Health Month. I know that we had a fantastic show last week. I want to make sure I say thank you thoroughly, okay? Thoroughly, I want to thank our guests from the last show. Kaden was amazing. I hope that you guys were able to listen and learn as I extended to him on that last show. I hope that he is open and willing to participate in future shows with us, because that was an amazing opportunity to just understand the plight of a man. So we're going to keep that momentum going this month and throughout the rest of this month, talking about males' issues and mental health around Black men, especially because that's something that we don't necessarily get to talk about. So that brings me to today's candid conversation. I have my sister on the line. She's going to help assist me in moderating this discussion. I also have a Black man who's going to step in and talk about mental health and just let us hear from him some of the things that he has experienced and what that looked like for him. Being a Black man is still trying to be what everybody else wants him to be. So that's going to be very, very interesting to hear. But without further ado, today's candid conversation will focus on protecting the young men in our lives. Hey, sister, how can or do you protect the young men in your life? As we continue the conversation about men and mental health this month, we need to go full circle. The stigmas mass started at a very young age. This is a tricky, sensitive, multi-dimensional conversation. As adults, parents, role models, advocates, and protectors of the current and next generation, we have to be mindful to not project personal biases that can cause damaging mindsets and start meaningful, objective dialogues with the young men in our lives. Fragile masculinity, a term referring to the unrealistic cultural standards placed on men, as this because many men feel they have to overcompensate or act in a certain way to meet these traditional standards. But we are all human. Black boys deserve to be able to be just boys. They deserve to grow into men in their own time. They deserve the right to just live and be. So less about it. How can we protect the young men in our lives, let alone make them feel safe enough to express themselves, provide the tools for the young men to unlearn the toxic masculinity, and allow them to feel free enough to communicate from places other than anger? Yes, I said it. We're going to talk about it. So, ladies, I'm going to open up the line. I want to hear a little bit from you, and then I'm going to have our gentleman chime in and share what he thinks about what has been said as well as his story. How y'all doing, ladies? What's going on this Saturday?
Hi, sis. How you doing?
Okay. I am on my way.
No worries, no worries.
I know you like
no worries, no worries.
But your sister's on her way.
Yeah, I was about to lock up. I think as far as protecting and just thinking about personal biases and like the toxic masculinity that starts with men, it does start at a young age. And what I mean by that is me being an educator, I've had very interesting conversations with parents over the years. I was a kindergarten teacher for 10 years. And for all the parents and aunts and, you know, uncles who pick up, you know, certain classrooms are designed, and we have the home living area and the block area and our science area and things of that nature. And, you know, at the end of the school day, you know, you got the after school clubs and things of that nature. And I have had parents on both sides, mothers and fathers, completely just bothered if they saw their son maybe in the home living area cooking or wearing a princess dress with his friends. Now, granted, he's a superhero. He has no idea and not thinking anything about this being a dress. That dress became a cape and a whole uniform to him. But when the parent came in, my son is not allowed to wear this, things of that nature. And you always respect a parent's personal, you know, visions because it's not my child. At the same time, the, you know, derogatory comments sometimes that were made, or no difference than I've had a little girl who was having the construction hat on, playing with the fire truck with the boys, and mom wondering why she's not in the home living area with the little, you know, dress on. Like, it definitely goes a lot of different ways, but, and then I can give you another example, and then I can break them all down, and also how we sexualize the children early. So if they're, you know, friends and they're playing together, it's the, oh, you're going to be my son-in-law. You're going to be the best girlfriend my son-in-law. The kids aren't thinking that way. So then when we call them fast-tailed girls in a few years, remember, you helped that fast-tailed girl at 3 years old and at 5 years old telling her that she was going to be the best wife. Maybe she don't want to be a wife. Maybe she want to be a lawyer. Maybe she's going to be who she is. We push a lot of our own thoughts and different preconceived notions of what we expect or what we want in children early. And then we're upset when the little boy doesn't have a sensitive side, doesn't have compassion, because we only want him in the block area and he can't wear the dress or he can't cook or he can't hold the baby. I've had little boys who were holding the babies and dad's like, he can't play with no dolls. Do you want him to possibly be a husband and a father one day? Did you hold your son when you had him? So why is it when we see the children doing different gender roles that are, you know, in our brain, and these kids are just innocently playing, but then the children who hear it and understand that, and then they take that on because mom or dad, you know, made them realize it's not okay to do this, and then they chastise the other students who are now scared to show whom they really are, which are just innocent children playing. So a lot of the things that happened with our young brothers and our men really occurred early in life. And a lot of it I have seen in my experiences have been where it's innocent, where they haven't even understood, you know, the whatever it is for a boy to wear a princess dress. That's not even, that's not a dress. That was his uniform. That was, you know, things of that nature. And it didn't change his sexuality. It didn't change anything. It was a little boy who was playing. A little boy who was holding a doll was not trying to be a mommy. He was trying to be a dad. And we need to see more healthy fathers. And that starts with modeling. So when that five-year-old boy is holding a son, it's no different than his dad possibly holding his second sibling or third sibling. You know what I'm saying? But when you see it in that moment, it's, oh, my God. And then that child is ashamed or feels away because now you have told him it's not okay and that's not what he's supposed to do. And then 20 years from now when he doesn't want to hold his own child or deal with his child, well, we've already put these things in his head that that's not what a man does. So at five, it's not okay. But then at 35, you expect him to be the father of the year. Those are things that we do as adults that definitely changes the game of their mindset on what is okay and not okay or how to express themselves without being judged or put things in their brains that they haven't even thought of.
Exactly. Well said, exactly. Well said. Because just like little girls play house, want to have an imagination, we keep our young men understanding appropriate gender roles by throwing our gender role ideas on them or telling them that's gay. You can't wear a dress. But what if a dress is to him that he's so pretty? You know, I wore a dress because I think that dresses mean you feel pretty. You can explain other ways for a man to feel pretty, because that's something that men are told they can't feel. You can't feel pretty.
Right.
Children
really see things literally, you know. So just like with that dress thing again, that example I could give again was he was wearing to be exact. It was the who is it? Snow White. I can't remember which one of the princesses, but it was red and blue. In his mind, it was red and blue like Superman. Like, literally, that's where his poor little brain went. It wasn't the dress or nothing. He's like, oh, this is like another Superman suit. Bet. And the controversy that went around it, you know, was so deep in this little boy. And the other thing that we have to be mindful to is also conversations. If, you know, people are co-parenting or, you know, whatever the case is, have specific conversations without the child present, because I don't understand why people continue to talk in front of children like they can't, like we're speaking a different language. They understand and they hear everything. They're digesting that, and it's going to come out differently than what you may want. Have that private conversation and then have a conversation with a child. It sticks with them, and then they wonder why now he's hitting somebody with a block in the truck when you just told him a second ago that it was not okay for him to be and doing what he was doing. You want him to be extra manly in the boy. Now you're unhappy with the manliness boy you got. What do you want? Exactly.
You better say that, Miss S. And let me let y'all know, because I didn't even introduce my sis. Let me put some respect on her name. This is Miss Stephanie Stewart, owner of Little... Okay. Oh my God, nothing. We are listening to a educator talk to us about this from the lens of educating and just loving children genuinely. I wouldn't trust my kids with nobody but her. I need y'all to hear what I'm saying. This is a person who pays attention to every little detail about a child. So to hear her speak about this, you guys need to be listening up and understanding. She knows what she's talking about. I ain't here to go against none of that, okay? I go to my sis like, sis, what's this? How do I need to look at this when I'm dealing with children? She's my guru, okay? Put some respect. Go ahead, sis. Tell them who you with.
No. Don't put me on the spot. I like to talk about the kids, not me. I appreciate you. I love you. I just think about that when we, you know, discuss things about our brothers and, you know, the men in our life and stuff like that. And I just often look at, you know, certain things that we say, you know, about little boys and little girls. We'll deal with the little girls a different day because, you know, we represent for the men this month. But I just think it's imperative our words. I think it's, you know, I think about a lot of my friends and, you know, who are in long-term relationships, married, remarried, and what they're looking for this time, because the ideal of what you were looking for and then the reality of certain aspects and certain characteristics of our Black men are hard. You know, oh, we want them romantic and I want them sensitive. But when they open their doors, you know, when you were a teenager and stuff like that, you know, somebody said they were soft. You know, they ain't play football, they ain't playing sports, all they must be this. If they hand slung one way too much, they might have been gay. You know, not the case. My brother can part hair as well as any stylist because he has four sisters and that child didn't have no choice. He ain't sensitive. David, help us. You know what I'm saying? And I often tease him, especially when he was a teenager. He's 20 years old now because, you know, he's a very quiet, passive young man, and he comes from a very loud, boisterous background with sisters. We are all very loud and opinionated and very just charismatic in our own ways, and he is nothing like that. He is very much the introvert of all of us. And, you know, but he's a good young man. You know, he's respectful. He's kind. But he's not loud. He's not, you know, this and that, you know, so people consider him soft. And I'm like, nah, he's actually wonderful. He is poised and ready to know how to treat a queen properly. He doesn't deal with any kind of woman because he understands the difference. But that I'm positive him growing up was probably difficult for him because, you know, he's not, you know, the tough guy. He didn't play sports. He was in the video games. He was in the reading books, you know. But that don't mean that he can't handle himself. That doesn't mean that he, you know, doesn't have the same interest. He just represented differently. But that's a problem for black men because if you do show that you're sensitive and you have home training and you open the door for a woman and things of that at a certain age, at a certain time, you're looked upon with very derogatory comments. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Black men just can't be black men. You always got to be tough. You got to be, if you're too much of this, then you automatically are this. If you're too much like this, you're automatically like that. And there's nothing wrong with being that. If you happen to end up being a gay black man, God bless them. That's a triple threat. That's so much harder because the sexuality alone gets disrespected. You already had a strike against you because you were black man. I mean, my goodness, it gets so much deeper and so much worse, but it starts at a young age. And even I can think from time to time of being probably part of the problem with my own brother. I remember us punching our arm, my brother and stuff like that, because I would hear what other people say, like, oh, he in the house of women all day long. Don't get twisted. He would, you know, so now I'm defending him, and then I'm beating him up. And we would just, like, punch on him, like, you better be ready. Somebody come at you, boom, boom, boom. Here his sisters are punching him because you better not mess with my brother. And we want to make sure he was prepared because I would literally hear how people would talk. And that's not the case, but here I am, maybe being part of the problem at a certain point. You know, I remember, like, you know, punching him when he wasn't expecting and stuff like that because I want him to prepare because I felt that he wasn't always safe just because of the comments that I heard people make around him. That worried me, and it made me scared for him because somebody's going to try him because you assume. Because a black man just can't be. He can't just be, you know, sensitive without not being able to take care of himself. He can't be respectful because he don't call somebody out his name. He can't, you know, there's levels to it, and it's unfortunate. But, I mean, just as uplifting and aware, I can think about times like that, like I just shared about that, you know, about my brother. You know, we've been tougher on him just because I knew how the world was and how they perceived him. And on top of that, my brother happens to be fair-skinned. So, you know, we got that colorism real deep in our community. We're all darker. He's light-skinned. So now you just light-skinned, passive, quiet brother. Everything that you would assume looking at him, he's not. He's actually not. You know, he started orange belt all the way to a black belt in karate. Like, the brother is together. But if you see him, he's quiet. He has his glasses, he has his book. He's very soft-spoken. So you assume. And just because I know him personally, I know looking at him, the assumption, you would have him all the way confused. He's actually pretty, you know, rough around the edges and some more. He doesn't always just present that way. But as a black man, he's supposed to. Otherwise, he's not considered, you know, he's almost a non-threat because he's, you know, he ain't got no dreads. He ain't got no braids. You know, he's not sagging. He don't have specific slang, you know, so you assume. And that's, once again, the prejudices and the biasness and the things that young black men have to deal with. Let me act this way so they assume, but if I act this way in this neighborhood and you crunching your purse and I'm offended because I'm on my way to school, you know, I'm not trying to rob you, lady. Like, it is a shame, but we definitely have to look at ourselves with how we handle, you know, our black men and make sure that they're comfortable and aware of all facets of life, that they can be just who they are. And they should be respected as such. I don't have to be anything but me. And that's hard because you really can't for a black man. I'm just uncomfortable thinking about all the things they have to go through just to get through a certain day. I got my cousins who used to, my mom worked in the same school district that my cousins went to school in, and they were getting in trouble for not doing their homework. But it wasn't because they weren't doing their homework. It was because you used to get beat up for taking your books home. Cause, oh, you think you're smart? My mom literally took books from school and left them at my aunt's house because my cousins were getting jumped. So now you can't be an educated black man. And this is from in your community. So now in their head, it's not even safe for me to be smart. So what I care about school for, you messing up your own life because of what other people are doing to you because of what it looks like. That's a lot for 8th grade. You know, you already got your awkwardness and your sound funny and your hormones and everything else, and now I can't even, you know, get any education because I'm going to get jumped. And then if I don't do my homework, then my mama going to kill me. You know, like, how do they deal with all that? And then you wonder, oh, they're doing bad in school. They're not being bad in school. You ain't got no choice. And then depending on what school you go to, you're not going to have the most supported educators. I am an educator. I'm not impressed with at least 75% of them. Most of them are here for checks. They don't care.
They don't care.
So you have teachers who really aren't going to do the extra, but you have to do the extra because all your children don't learn the same. So you have to really, even if you're in it, you're in it. You're definitely not an education for the pay. You got to love these babies. You got to pray that you're going to give them what they need so that when you send them to the next educator, you can continue to build. But that's not the case. But they have our babies looking like they're dumb and they don't want to learn. Half of them, you know, and then half of them don't have the family structure. I have the parents who got to work two jobs just to barely keep a roof over these kids' head. So, no, they can't put that extra into making sure they're okay in school, so they rely on the teachers, and we already know what that's about. And then depending on the neighborhood, if the school district is any good, all that still goes into how a black young man sees himself. Yeah, I mean, it's level to it. So then, thanks, you know, so then when we see the young men in their 20s and their 30s and we got so much to say, that's been groomed, that's been pushed into them. God bless them, the ones who've had the background and the support to, you know, fight through everything else just to be all right. Like, it's rough. It's rough. I really feel for, you know, our black young brothers. Like, you know, our young ladies have it tough in their own right, but I feel a lot like the black men and the young men, just, it's exhausting. And that's the stuff that we can talk about because I'm not a black man. I don't know about all the ins and outs that they go through, just like they don't know what we go through as young women and, you know, grown women, you know. So I can't imagine the things that we really can't understand or don't know because it's not part of who we are. This is just what we are aware of and what we can see and everything else. So imagine the extra, not having the foundation, maybe not having a good role model, whether it's the mother or the father or none. And then we'd be so hard on them, but half of whom they are today is what was bred in them, you know, early, and at least a third of that may not be their fault. Misgivings, different biases, unforeseen opportunities, and on top of that, like I said, they're a target at birth. Our black men are targeted before they're able to even do anything for themselves. It's rough.
Say that, sis. You better say that. I mean, and even looking at the fact how our little boys aren't even little boys for long. They only have a short window of time to be a little boy before society sees them
absolutely.
As a criminal.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm saying? I have little cousins who didn't even make it to 12 before they could not even go to school. They dropped out of school. They became gangbangers because if you did not become a gangbanger, you was going to die anyway. So what's the alternative? I'm talking about my little cousin got shot down because he wanted to go and get an education. Because guess what? Most of the children in our neighborhood, they know you are not going to make it far unless you play basketball or have an education. But how many of them really do the work to get where they need to go because they don't see anything else? They don't experience a ladder. They don't have a role model. Their mothers are going through depression. Their fathers are incarcerated. Who teaches them how to just be when their parents are broken? And a lot of this is coming from broken families.
I mean, what is the alternative? How are we helping our little boys? How are we protecting them and letting them know, hey, young man, it's going to be all right, when it don't seem like it's going to be all right? I ain't seen nothing all right in a long time. It ain't been all right since I've been a baby. You know, that's deep. That's some deep work. You know what? I'm gonna have Carlton chime in for him to just share with us, you guys, what his experience as a black boy transitioning to a black man has been. Growing up with several sisters, Stephanie, you were over here talking about learning how to do hair. Carlton over here like, girl, and I had to learn every hand game, Miss Mary Mack.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how to do a ponytail or a baby tail, mama, what I was sneaking to do. Yeah, we know what you was back there doing.
Right.
Didn't
but
want to get
I appreciate
doing.
I appreciate the young men who have, you know, the grandmothers and the aunties and the sisters in their life, because they're more aware of different things with women, whether they want to be or not. But it also brought compassion and understanding of women. Sometimes other men don't, you know, may not have that previous information. You know, they got that background, like, you know, to understand about things that are very, you know, monumental in a woman's monthly life, weekly life, daily life, you know, things of that nature. So, I mean, you might be rolling his eyes, but even I tease my brother about that. I'm like, you got the upper hand on most men. You got all the good tips, you know. You know when to bring somebody chocolate and flowers. You know when to walk away. You understand the importance of the hair. You know, like, you got, you know, where some men are just so confused, like, why is this a big deal? You understand. You were raised in it. So, I mean, tell Carlton, to me, I used to tell my brother all the time, like, you know, as much as we get on your nerves years from now, you're going to be so grateful for us. You're going to be so grateful because we're giving you the inside track that most men don't get.
You're right, sis. But then, you know, I got to get like you. I've been around you too much, girl. Got to play devil's advocate here now.
Devil's advocate.
Those
come on. Bring it.
Those same things that we done to traumatize them and teach them how to treat us be the same, some of the same reasons why some of the men don't even want to date the black women. They like, y'all too much.
So let's go there. You know what? Let's go there. I absolutely agree. So actually, you can't even double advocate me on that one because I'm so on your side on that one. I often tease him, or not tease him, but I say it to other people in my private circle, like, I'm not all the way surprised that my brother dates out of the race. I'm a little bit not surprised. I said, I think we might have overwhelmed him on a black woman. And people laugh at me like, Stephanie, you're so silly. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Because as much positivity and love, unfortunately, I just happen to know that he has experienced some very traumatic things that were faltered around significant women in his life. That has caused some trauma that I believe is, I pray it won't, but will stick with him for a while, and I know it's definitely been a part of some of his mindset. And because I'm older and it was nothing I could do about some of the things that happened was out of my control, but nonetheless it occurred to him, I see how that has changed some of his, I see it. So, you know, different than, you know, us talking about young girls. Yeah. I can go a little bit deeper. I also, you know, I come from a product of a divorced parent. So, you know, my father was a friendly guy. I have several siblings. So, you know, I also have four brothers. David is just a baby. So me and him were the closest. But growing up with my other brothers who are all in high school before me, dating before me, and a father who was a wonderful father, but was very much a specific kind of womanizer. I peep game on that too. Men who were aware of women also knew how to manipulate as well. My dad kept a spotless house, all the potpourri, the silk pillowcases. Oh, yeah, my dad was, I didn't know any difference because that's how I grew up. As a grown woman paying attention, I was like, oh. Daddy's smoother than a, yep, mm-hmm. He knew what women loved. He knew how that worked. And he worked that well. And he taught my brothers well. Many nieces and nephews. Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing. But, it can, you know, for the men who aren't quite mature enough to, you know, fight some of that toxic masculinity when it comes to certain sexualized things, it absolutely can go the other route. I am blessed that I have both in my life so I can see it clearly. But I agree with you, LaWanda. Just as wonderful as some of the black men in my life are, I have some that they have spun that web of being around women to know exactly how to manipulate that situation. So there's no disagreeing. Sometimes it just comes down to an individual doing what's right and what's wrong. We just gonna call a spade a spade. You know what I'm saying? You can have all the insights, but your choices on what you choose to do and how you choose to do it, it's just what you choose to do. And the reason I say it like that is because I often say stuff to my brothers when I was younger because they were very much particular on, you know, doors being open for me, me being aware of how I should be treated as a black woman. At all times, my dad and my brothers were on it. If they don't open a door for you, if they don't respect you, if they don't do this and that, blah, 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 there was a list. And that was always done for me. Doors are always open for me. I don't, you know, pump, you know, gas, don't take the trash out. You know, they, you know, had their very, you know, gender role mindset. What tickled me is when I watched how they were with women. And I could tell who meant what to them. Because there were women who didn't get not none of that treatment. And there were some that did. Oh, so I never said anything, but I paid attention to it. Y'all are on me about how I should be treated all the time, but I see different. I see what you tell me is not always the actions that you guys do, and not for everybody. So what other methods are you, what other methods were y'all showing me? Like, of course, they didn't probably recognize that, but and I didn't recognize that either because at the time, I was younger, and I'm spoiled. And that was my mindset. I'm the princess. She got four brothers and a daddy. They did it, you know. But, you know, paying attention to, you know, the women in their life, my mind, well, the rules for me definitely don't apply for all these women that you guys entertain, all these several women. But at the same time, do y'all ever think that this could be somebody else's little sister? Because what you pouring off at me that are mandatory, I'm sure they might have an uncle or a brother or a dad who expect for the young men in their life to be the same. It's levels to it. It's levels to it. And as I get older, I just pay more attention and, you know, things of that nature. And I'm just like, ooh, the black man is complicated. They talk about us, but man, oh, man, complicated. And for various reasons. So. Yeah, you can't. You can't even devil advocate me on that one, sis, because I'm right there with you. I see the other side of that spectrum, and it's just as real as the good side. Agreed, 100%.
I mean, they're not so innocent now. I want to make sure we looking at all elements.
No, they're not. But you know, I'm always on the support side. I love me some black men, but yeah, some of them. I mean, but you know, here's the difference. Even though we're concentrating on the brothers, I can't wait till we go back to the women because I feel the same way because, you know, me and you have the conversation all the time. I'm like, I feel that the woman delegation would probably kick me out the group quickly because, once again, I have been raised more with my father and my brother than my sisters, and I've seen what different women do, and I have a better understanding on why different men handle women specifically because I've seen it. I've seen the fake paternity test. I've seen the flashing of the tires when you're not the only girlfriend. I've seen men use their words and women not be able to accept things. And then, I will make certain comments where women will look at me like, oh, I can't believe she said that. Okay, girl, but see, these women are trifling. Just like they're trifling men, they're trifling women, and that also adds a different component to why some, not all, of our brothers are how they are. It's the toxic examples that they got from the women they're dating who haven't been raised white to be healthier women. And then, you know, we create issues. I just saw a post, Michael B. Jordan. Everybody's talking about him and Lori Harvey. And I saw a post how this brother was saying, you know, you women are something else.
for the last year, Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan's been goals, goals, goals. Can't wait for a black man to treat me like this. Can't wait to find my king for all this. Now, Lori then came out and said, I don't want that no more. I'm still for the streets. I'm only 25. I'm not ready for this wonderfulness. Now, it's all the memes mocking him. But the memes are more posted by women. He was like, what y'all want? Y'all thought it was the most beautiful thing when he was publicly showing her affection and love and respect. And, you know, they weren't just going on trips. He was providing her with education and buying her socks, not bags. He was putting her on a different level. And that was what was endearing and beautiful about this black man who was openly doing A, B, C, and D. But the minute his heart got broke by the black woman, he mocked him. And then he said, now y'all created savage. I absolutely agree with everything that man said. And maybe he gonna, you know, have some rough years and be out here, and maybe he won't. But the point was, he was the most wonderful black man until he got his heart broken. And we were very, very quick to flip the script on the same man who was just this most wonderful king 30 days ago. Now he a joke because he got his heart broke. And then y'all wonder why men will put on that air and that arm. Why? If you give them the opportunity to be who they are, and something happens in life, because that just happens in life. Now he a sucker. Now, oh, look at him. The same day that announcement came out, he was at a basketball game. You saw in his face that that man didn't look right. It was obvious. It was out there. That was a broken man. His heart is broken. Still trying to show face. Just still trying to breathe. Went out to a basketball game with his brothers. I know y'all saw all those posts. They couldn't stop showing his picture because he was broken. Did nobody support Listen. That? Did nobody say, you know, oh, no, you know what I'm saying? What you say, sis?
Misery loves company. Those people are unhappy. They don't have anybody that loves them. So it's so quickly to say, oh, I knew that wasn't going to work, or to shut that down. But that man's heart was broken. And he actually committed
But that's my
something.
Point, though. We're talking about what's going on with these black men. That's horrible, and that's, like, happening now.
Other men will go out and stuff on these other platforms, and they will bash him for being soft. They will say he is a soft man because he actually showed some emotion, cared about someone. And I think that that is not the narrative that needs to be promoted or motivated. That man loved her enough to want to wife her. And even though she did decide she wanted to be for the streets, and she's young, she's a woman, she has the choice to decide. But he did right by her, by loving her. And I want to make sure that message is heard by other men and other women, because the mindset of society is to not create unbroken households, because the opposite of that is what we see. Is broken households. They like this drama. This drama keeps the consumeristic market booming. Okay? We need to be mindful that we have a family unit and a foundation. We can build on that and definitely monopolize our own economy where we're working together. They don't want that. They don't want to see business and partnerships flourish. Because he definitely had the means to justify the necessary for this woman. This is Steve Harvey's daughter, stepdaughter, right? So she comes with a particular type of knowledge. She has access to all these high-profile men. To most women, they would say, why would she cheat on Michael B. Jordan? Why wouldn't she want to marry him? Why? Because she has...
That's not our business, nor our concern. Like you said, she can make her own decisions. It was the backlash on how that young man got treated, you know, just because, you know, his heart was broken. And then, the narrative completely changed. And, you know, it's just still the fact. And we wonder why these black men are hesitant to show that, to embrace that. Because it goes wrong, you know, now we're dealing with, you know, the disrespect on several levels. Like, look, it's hard being a black man. It's hard.
It sure is. And sis,
hard is not fair.
You're right, sis. Tiff tagged in and said, instead of embracing him and loving him through his pain, people are choosing to laugh and kick him while he's down. You're right, Tiff.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely. And then they wonder why, you know, he coming, you know, they come back with the, you know, with the bravado that they come back with, you know, because, well, shoot, you done showed him that he's not safe being who he is. He can't, you know, have emotions or anything else like that. And then, you know, y'all wonder why the other men are like, well, man, I ain't even going to show you nothing. Y'all know how to act and respectful, you know. It comes deeply.
You better say that.
And people be shocked.
Say, I don't show no emotions. I don't want no woman to know that I love them. Like, and then the other part of that, come on now, let's get back on this toxic masculinity piece. Then men become people that say, well, I know I need to be in relationships or at least play the game enough someone likes me enough. But I don't want to show true emotion with this person because I'm fearful of being hurt. So if I act like I don't care, then I don't ever have to show love in the way that love is typically shown. And so now they're confused on how to demonstrate love languages, be affectionate, show other emotions outside of anger. They don't know how to use their words and say that you hurt me, because if I said that you hurt me, that would mean that I'm soft. That would mean other things to my ego, and that's not nothing that I want to be attached to. We hear this a lot. I'm soft. Or if I do that, people going to think I'm soft. Who cares if people think you soft? Are you soft? Do you think that you're soft? Yeah, I think I'm soft because people think I'm soft, so I must be soft. So we have to change the self-talk to our young boys. We have to teach them how to talk to themselves kindly, how to be more gentler with themselves, how to show themselves self-compassion.
Agreed.
Us showing empathy and letting them know it is okay. You don't have to have it all figured out. You can wear that dress if that's what you want to wear because you thought it was a Spider-Man costume. And then you sit that baby down and you explain to him later in a socially acceptable way. Like, did you know that that was a dress and that's what girls wear, you know? And do you like dresses? And what do you like about dresses? You see how that sounds different than, you know, that dress is something that a girl wears? We're shaping gender roles and identities for our children way before they explore that, way before. So, sis, we didn't got through the first half of the show. Ladies, we are going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to have Carlton hop on the line. I think we got Miss Taletta Smith on the line from Star Bright. Come on, Star Bright, Star Light.
All right.
Yes, hello, ladies.
Hey, cuz.
Hey.
I love you.
Hey, Brewski.
How y'all doing? I've been out here listening to this information.
Well, you know, I want you to chime in after the top of the hour. I want you to talk to us a little bit about being a black mother. I know we have some other black mothers on the line, but I know that my little cousins, they go through so much as young black men, and being a mother to those kids and seeing the trauma that they're experiencing and just being there to support them and uplift them is a lifelong journey for them. So I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about what that's been like for you too, okay?
Sure.
Look, I didn't know I was on the show for that today. Well, you are what's on the show for it, cousin. And I'm glad you're here. I am going to the top of the hour. I love you, ladies. Just give me a little bit of a minute, and we'll be back after these messages.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. Lucifer was all around me. So I kept running until I found my safe haven. I was trying to convince myself the stripes I got, making myself realize where my foundation was.
In the room, and I run.
While my loved ones was fighting a continuous war back in the city, I was entering a new one. A war that was based on apartheid and discrimination. Hey, on my mama, nigga.
R.I.P. Pat Dog.
I'ma be the greatest to ever do this shit. On my mama, though, like, on the dead homies. Hey, Soundwave, turn this shit up, nigga. Turn this shit up. Soundwave, turn this shit up, nigga.
Tell me who the bitch nigga hating on me. Jumping on my dick, but this dick ain't free. To Pimp a Butterfly, another classic CD. Get a lullaby for everyone they MC.
Blah, 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 blah.
Nigga, now R.I.P. My diligence is only meant to write your eulogy.
All's my life I had to fight, nigga. All's my life I... Hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the face down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. With pretty pussy and Benjamin, it's the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like, Lord knows. 20 of them in my Chevy, tell them all to come and get me. Reaping everything I sow, so my karma come in heaven. No preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po. Wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright. Right,
nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Alright, do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. In a profit, big enough to feed you. Every day my logic. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. I don't talk about it. Be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog, my dog, that's all. Pit back and chat. I strap the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks. So rest assured. My rights, my wrongs. I write till I'm right with God. When you know we've been hurt, been down before. nigga, when our pride was low. Looking at the world like, where do we go, nigga? And we hate po-po, when they kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
In my prayers, I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment, resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers.
Here goes out to all the babies, mamas, 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 baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Mama, don't like me. She doing things like having the boys come from her neighborhood to the studio trying to fight me. She needs to get a piece of American pie and take her bite out. That's my house. I disconnect the cable and turn the lights out. And let her know her grandchild is a baby and not a paycheck. Private school, daycare, medical bills, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I ain't the only one who lay down. She want to rip you up and start a custody war. My lawyer, stay down. She never got a chance to hear my side of the story. We was divided. She had fish fries and cookouts for my child's birthday. I ain't invited, despite it. I show her the utmost respect when I fall through. All you, you would defend that lady when I call you.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real.
Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
Then the puppy love thing together dream about that crib with the good year swing. On the oak tree, I hope we feel like this forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-by-day ruler can't be too wrong. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the shatter. Thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he. Asking what happened to the feeling that her and me.
Whoa, did you see that? It's amazing how stress affects us all differently. When I'm feeling stressed, I just need to talk it out. But it wasn't always like that for me. not until a friend told me to give therapy a try. Did you know that therapy provides you with a sounding board to make the best choice you can make? Or that therapy provides you with a space to deal with stressors? And that you decide the goals you want to work on? Or most importantly, that you are not crazy because you speak with a therapist or ask for help. Therapy can change your perspective. Be the change and break the cycle by reaching out to a licensed mental health professional at Lifting Individuals Forward Everyday Counseling Services. Check out their website, lift-ife.com, or give them a call at 414-830-3001 to book an appointment. They even have flexible office hours to fit your schedule because they're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies. We are back from our top of the hour break. Everybody's lines are back open. So feel free to chime in. Ms. Steph, I want you to know you've done a phenomenal job today. I just want to give praise what praise is due because you have been dead on with everything you have talked about today. And so I know the other listeners on the line,
you
got the opportunity to hear the conversation. Does anybody have any comments? Anything they want to add before we continue to move on?
Hey, everyone. Happy Saturday. This is Treva. I just wanted to chime in and say hello. I haven't been on the calls in a while, but definitely I give credit to Stephanie. Stephanie, you definitely hit the nail on the head, touching bases of every part of the topic. I agree that it's time for us to work on, or people to work on, not projecting, those stereotypes and things onto our children, our youth, our people. Definitely well said. And again, happy Saturday, everybody.
I guess none of y'all could hear nothing I was just saying. Hey, Treva, how you been, girl?
Hey. I'm doing better. I've been away for a little bit, but I'm doing well. I can't complain now. How have you been?
It's been going, girl. It has definitely been going. I can agree with you. Taking it one day at a time and just breathing and just being happy to be able to breathe with you ladies today, because we almost at this mid-season break, y'all. So I want to make sure we get this check-in time so we can figure out how we're going to check in moving forward, because I know we want to enjoy our summers and spend time with our family. So I'm thinking that maybe we will have a nightcap convo coming in the next couple of weeks. So y'all be looking out for the flyers about what days and times that's going to happen. I want to try something a little different to see how that's going to work. So that's what's been going on with me. Other than that, ladies, I am just getting ready to close out another year over at my existing job. So I'm excited about that, too. Anybody else has anything that they want to share before I have Carlson chime in and give us, it's always nice for us to have our conversations, but I think when we're talking about men, it's always nice to have a man insert their perspective, especially when we're talking about their mental health, because we can always think we know what's going on with them and can empathize with them. Just because we're natural nurturers for the most part, but it's also nice to hear from a man what his experience with his mental health is and, kind of what that looks like, what they need, what would they like to happen.
how would they like to receive some support. So, Carlton, I would like you to share with our listeners a little bit about your mental health journey and what it's like to be a Black man going through life.
You like, I'm looking at him right now. He's breathing like, where do you start?
I don't know. It's...
Tell him a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Carlton.
How you doing?
Hey, Carlton.
How you doing?
Cousin.
How y'all doing?
We got your back, Carlton. Come on.
Well, I see. But I don't know. It's like, it's different from a man's point of view. You know, mental health is real to a man because we go through the same thing a woman go through. But I don't know for every man, but for me, I'd rather hold my shit in than try to, let it out and shit like, stuff like that. But, but mental health, it's a serious thing with men, just like it's a serious thing with women. But in our point, we don't see women see it as bad as we see it. When y'all go through y'all mental thing, we see it as, y'all want to go through all this. But when we go through ours, it's just, he'll be all right, just let him be. No, it's the same way. It's a two-way street, That's how I feel.
What was it like growing up with so many
men? Crazy. A lot of mood swings. I grew up in a house with 12 women. So, and it was only 3 boys. So, you get the drift where I'm going with this.
You ain't have no master memory.
Nah, my mama pretty much taught me everything I know. Yeah.
What's that? Can you share with us, Carlton, what that relationship was like with your mom, and a little bit about what it was like losing your mother?
I don't like talking about that situation. I ain't gonna lie, the whole part about losing her, but it's a struggle, because you can't call her up and talk about the things y'all used to talk about or just when you want somebody to talk to, like you said, the depression, mental health, with their mama, they can express that with their mother. So me not having my mother around, I can't express my feelings.
Because that's the only person you felt safe to do it with.
Pretty much.
Okay. I understand that because my auntie was a beautiful woman and she wasn't going to let nobody mess with her boys. So I do know what you're talking about when you say you could always go to auntie and talk about things that were bothering you. Can you share what that's like growing up and becoming a father and having sons of your own and ways that you teach them how to express their emotions?
Once again, I don't express mine, so I don't, I can't tell them to express theirs because I don't express mine, but it's...
Do you see a problem with that? Do you think that makes you, makes it hard for you to get things done or communicate?
No, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't because, like I said, I'm not an emotional type of guy. I'd rather have my shit in there, have my stuff in. Then, when I get into it with somebody or fight, that's when I let my anger out.
Then that spillover comes and starts to happen and that rage kicks in.
Yeah, but I'm not an emotional guy. I'm not the type to sit down and talk to a girl and express my feelings.
Does that mean for you to sit down and talk to a girl to express your feelings? What would that mean for you? What does that say about Carlton?
That I don't have feelings. Well, I have feelings, I just don't express them.
So if you don't have, you have feelings but you don't express them, how would a woman know that you loved her and was interested in solely her, outside of the sexual connection? What things do you do?
It's the emotions that you show a person. It ain't always got to be you buying this person this or you buying this person that. As long as you spend time with that person and you open up to that person, you can feel the same vibe that person gives to you. You can't give the same vibe to a person that don't give the vibe back to you.
I'm trying to understand how a vibe is even understood or connected or thought about. I'm trying to understand that, especially when you say you a man and don't show no emotion.
To express his feelings to a woman, and that woman be like, "Oh, you a soft nigga, or I really don't care." So what's the point of expressing your feelings to a woman if they just gonna brush it off?
As a man, why would you continue to work? You know, try to be with a person that's like that, because if you don't show emotion, look, you like, because it's something I want that she got, but I just ain't gonna let her. I ain't gonna let her know I'm in too deep. Yeah, that's the game people play. Wasting time.
I've been with my best mom 13 years. You know, I've been holding on 13 years. I share my emotions with her, and I feel like she didn't, you know.
She didn't
see down. Yeah,
she did. She did?
It's like, she brushed it up. Like I say, you brush it up. We're like, oh, yeah, be out. Now, the woman I was with 13 years, I supposedly express myself with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally done, she just brushed it up. Now, what's the point of me trying to open up to somebody else if they just going to do the exact same thing?
Well, that's the thing, though, Carlton. I want you to be mindful of this. Just because one woman shuts you down or brushes it off doesn't mean that every woman is going to shut you down and brush you off. And I think that's the issue with our black men in our community. They use some of those traumas that come up with their mothers and their sisters, and they say all black women are like this. But in turn, you know, they're not all like this. That's just one encounter with a particular black woman. So I don't want to speak for all black women, but hey now, hey girls, we are all multifaceted black women on this line and who listen to this show. And even though we are identifying with the fact that we're black women, we're all different types of black women. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing for us to be able to connect in this way, because you get to hear different women's voices and perspectives to help reduce some of these stigmatizing and generalizing and stereotyping. We can break down some of those barriers and just talk about what is and what ain't and how we can all grow and be better for one another. Second off, Carlton, I want to thank you for just being transparent and honest about it, because, yes, you're right. Black men, all men go through depression differently. And I think that the number one emotion you guys are very good at displaying is that of anger. It would be nice to see more men speaking up and saying they want to be loved or they want to be in a loving relationship and also reciprocate and show love and be affectionate, be gentle when it's okay to be gentle, and be a protector when it's okay to be a protector. Be in tune with your body and your mind and what you need. That helps you to be clear on what you want out of your relationships with women and other men and people in general. Anybody have anything they want to chime in about what Carlton said, or any questions they want to ask him?
This is Treva again. I definitely appreciate you, Carlton, for speaking up. I actually have a male friend that's listening to this call who wants to speak up as well. We was actually just talking about some similar things that Carlton was speaking about. But, you know, it is important that, you know, people acknowledge that mental health for men is just as vital as it is for women, especially with men. You know, they handle their emotions and things differently. But I want to say to you, Carlton, like, you know, when you have those experiences, whether they're with friends, relationships, things like that, the healing time is also important, regardless of, like, the role, you know, whether you're male or male or female. Like, it's so important for you all as men to take the time to heal and be okay with it. Like, don't be ashamed to heal, because you don't want to have that mindset that every woman or every girl is the same, because, you know, it's the same thing. Guys don't want us out here saying, oh, every guy is the same or every N-word is the same. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just, you know, remember that your healing, your mental healing is just as important as anybody else's, so that you're not having that mindset, you know, when it's dating time or whatever, Because what'll happen is you're going to treat that person like, you know, nonchalantly or like crap out the gate because in your mind, why open up to them or why to get them a little vulnerability when all women are the same? And honestly, we aren't. You know, every, like Ms. LaWanda said, every black woman is different. Every black woman is unique. Every woman is different and unique. So, yeah, again, I appreciate you opening up. If you guys don't mind, I do have a friend by the name of Maurice who wants to just chime in a little bit about the same things, Carlton. So, Maurice, you want to say something?
But absolutely, Maurice can chime in. This is a community therapy platform. Nobody needs permission here to chime in now. Let's talk about it. Because this is how
we're going to
work together. This is how we're going to do better tomorrow by having a breakthrough, even if just saying hello. I agree with you, brother. This is how we get that process going because healing is real. And you're right, Treva. Everybody is responsible for their own healing. This toxic masculinity also trickles down and over to toxic femininity, where we got a very vicious cycle going out here where we are afraid to let people know we like them or we're interested because everybody got a game. The game people play. So, Maurice, brother, thank you. We welcome you at the Black Sister Talk community, and we would love to hear what your experiences have been. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing a lot better. Every day is a struggle, but every day is better than intrigued by what Carlton was saying about how he doesn't have that outlet out of his mom's son. I didn't have, I'm sorry about your loss, brother. I didn't have that, I don't have that same relationship with my mom, but I understand how he feels because I had that relationship with my brothers. My brothers were my outlet. I was able to go and talk to, depending on what I was going through and what I was dealing with in life, I was able to go talk to either one of them. And they would give me advice and, you know, comfort me and, you know, and help make sure that I'm okay mentally. And that's very important for me, being that I'm a father raising two kids. It's very important for me to be okay because if I'm not okay, then they can't. If I can't do what I got to do. To take care of it. So I definitely understood. I sympathize with them not having that outlet because I lost my brother's twin. And so it's very hard without that outlet. It's very important to find people that you can just give the. It's important to be able to, you know, go through those things and recover on your own. But sometimes it gets lean on you. You know? So that was one of the things that you got to talk about.
But, you know, like I said, I grew up around all women. So, you know, my hope for how I grew up is, you know, my mom told me always, you know, respect women, you know, treat them nice and, you know, treat them like you want to be treated. That's how I feel, you know. And I don't know. Like I said, you know, depression for men, you know, it's real. We just don't have the right outlet to let it out to someone.
Times when we do let it out to someone, like the ladies were saying earlier, we looked at it soft or weak or fragile, you know, and that's not the case. We hurt too.
I would say we did just like we just hold it in.
Question for the both of you young men. What you guys both saying is, you know, we heard too, we don't necessarily have those outlets, and if we do have those outlets, we still sometimes look soft. What can we do as friends, sisters, girlfriend, to make you guys change the narrative as now you are grown, you know, full-grown men? You know, when you were younger, you may not have even been comfortable to say the things that you're saying right now. So today in this space, what can women do? What can we do as a community And if we were, if you guys were presented with whatever you're going to tell us, especially you, Carlton, because Carlton, you have said twice, like, man, look, I ain't saying nothing to nobody. What what could change for you to consider being open so that you don't feel or look soft or whatever it is to express an emotion? Is there something that you feel that your sisters, me, your cousin, any of us can do that when you having a bad day, you can text me and be like, hey, yo, Steph, I need to talk? Or do you feel that your mind has just, it is what it is, and there's no safe zone for you? Is there something we can do for, and you too, Marva, I would like hope you're trying to let us know, like, you're letting us know that, hey, even when we attempt, you know, the backlash, not maybe from all, but from some make, you know, say or feel that we're A, B, and C. How can we change that narrative for y'all?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a type of person that expresses my feelings, so I'm not for sure how to answer that question. But if I did, you know, open up, you know, I just want somebody, you know, just listen. I don't need somebody, you know, to talk back to me. I just need somebody, you know, just listen. You ain't got to put in your input about it. Just, you know, just show me you at least care about what I'm talking about. You know, just don't brush it off and just say, oh, I feel what you're talking about, and you really don't, you know? That's if I did open up, that's how I put it.
Okay.
Got
so
it.
Let me ask, I appreciate you saying that, Carlton. And thank you, Brother Marie, for being transparent and sharing. Because what I'm hearing you say, Carlton, is that you might be a good candidate for therapy.
Hey.
And have you ever thought about seeing a therapist? Because what you're describing is exactly what a therapist does. They actively listen for the sake of really wanting to understand what is going on. So before a person can even say they feel where you're coming from, they probably would have to, and I'm not saying always, have to look like you. Because people who look like you may not identify with your experience. So it's going to take some research and finding the therapist who is culturally responsible enough to understand what that experience is like for a black man. So I recommend having a black male therapist or a black female therapist before I would recommend speak with this other type of therapist. Not to say that those therapists won't be helpful, because they can very much be helpful in other ways. But for the sake of having a therapeutic or an alliance with the client, which is the number one thing that needs to happen for the work to be done in a way that is going to work for you, I would say that that's the number one objective, is to find someone who understands that plight. You understand what I'm saying? So what would be your buy-in to work with a therapist? Ooh, you should have seen the face that he just made. I wish we was on Zoom right now. I wish we was on Zoom right now. Because y'all should have seen the look in his eyes. He looked like he was.
He ain't going.
He looked like that brother on Get Out when he realized he was in the sunken place. My God, today.
Right. Carson, them eyes got big.
Them eyes got big like we was in a side tire finna see Sambo. Like, what is going on up in here? It's 2022. We shouldn't be doing no satires. No, brother. No. Seriously, though. I know that even in my family, the stigma around mental health and mental illness has been such a journey. It is so surprising to several people in my family that I'm a therapist. And to others, they're like, please, I see why. You got all these case studies. You know, that's their words, not mine, but this is what I hear from my family. Like, you got all these case studies and all these folks in the family that got addiction. Yeah, we gonna all come to your client. I'm like, thank God y'all can't be my client, okay? Thank God it's unethical for these people to be my client. Because I would stay busy.
I would never not have time off if that was the case. But I say all of that to say the stigma is so real in my family around mental health and mental illness and getting help and knowing how to ask for help and knowing how to communicate and being in denial and saying just what Carlton just said, because he got from his mama too, okay? I ain't seeing no damn therapist, and I ain't talking to nobody about my problems, because to talk to somebody about your problems means to a lot of folks that I'm no longer in control. And I want to let you guys know that that's quite the opposite. Because you talk to somebody about your problem says to me you're more in control than you think. Okay? You are more in control than you think. My sister always says to me, like, it scares me how well you cope under stress, how well you cope in chaos. Do you even recognize what you're doing? What does that say to you when you hear somebody say that? What does that mean? Sis, you say it all the time, so you know what it means.
I was going to say, ooh, no, you didn't go there.
I told y'all we're going to talk about it today. This is that Saturday check-in we all need it, okay? Here we go.
Maurice, go ahead, Maurice.
No, but like that's you know what you're just saying, like that's something that a lot of us gotta unlearn, the black community, that is something wrong with you. You've got a problem. But it's something wrong with you to speak out of when you're sad, depressed, if not struggling. I know one thing that is just like recognizing people who are not for me as far as my circle goes. And eliminating them out of my life, and the hardest part of that is being okay with not having that person there. So I'm at a rebuilding stage as far as my circle goes, and so far I have two new friends. Well, one is an old friend, one is a new friend. Our family treatment here with the friend, but she has been a person who has come into my circle and. She's been somebody that I can vent to. She's been able to vent to me. I listen to her. She gives me advice. Like, if she's somebody that I can see, okay, you know what? I need to keep this person in my circle because I want to run to Treva every time I got a problem and talk to her like, oh, my God, Treva, this happened. But because we can support each other as far as everything goes within the friendship, like business, emotional stress and strain, you know, family stress and strain, like, you know, things like that nature. I have an old friend, his name is JR. He's a homosexual man. He's going through a lot of things. And, you know, something that me and him was talking about a few days ago is that, you know what, like, me and this guy have been friends since we were little children. But through my teenage years, I strayed away from him because he's homosexual. I'm a straight male. And, you know, I didn't want to be seen with it. With the, excuse my language, gay guy. And, you know, the couple of days ago, I apologized to him, man, I'm sorry that I had this lapse in our friendship because of that insecurity of mine. Now that I'm okay with that, like, you know, we're back friends again, and, like, I missed out on all these years of a wonderful friendship because I was worried about what the next person was going to think instead of just hanging out with my friends. And so it's like, it's a lot of like curses and what you call them,
Yeah.
Whatever. You gotta overcome it. Like, man, it's okay to talk about what's wrong with you to the right people. The wrong people, they're gonna bash you, they're gonna make fun of you, they're gonna tell you there's something wrong with you. You know, but it's okay when you got them people around you that's gonna be like, look. They might tell you, I don't understand, but I'm here for you, and I'm going to support you through it, and that's what I got right now. I'm going to make sure I be there for those two people as much as I can in the same life because it's hard.
Maurice, I appreciate you for being so honest. And other men can identify with your story, but probably won't speak up. But I can say I have had situations where, as a heterosexual female, that I had those same kind of issues growing up with being friends with people who didn't identify sexually the way that I did. And so it took a lot of understanding sexual identity, gender roles, and things of that nature. But most importantly, being okay with who I am. At this point in my life, I love everybody, no matter what you like, because what you like is not why I like you, if you're my friend. And also, I don't really care what other people think about who I like as a friend, because if I know you're my friend, then that's good enough for me. I even had to learn how to let go some of those same insecurities with dating men who did have friends who were gay. It right away said to me, like, how can I take this man serious if he is being friends with a gay dude? Is he gay? Is he, you know, trade? Is he sus? Is he interested in, is he bisexual? Is he curious? You know, it just brought up so many questions for me as a heterosexual woman, wondering what that would look like for a male to be friends with a person who is gay. And then I had to think about me. You know, I had friends who were gay. I had friends who were gay women and gay men. I had bisexual friends. And so because that was their sexual identity, was I not supposed to be friends with them? So I appreciate you for bringing that up, Maurice, because it is a real dilemma, and we end up hurting people who don't deserve that and then internalize their own thoughts and feelings like, oh, something's wrong with me. Or be taken aback, like, to not want to be my friend, and I don't even look at you like that. Like, you're not even my type. Like, that would be also invalidating, and probably would piss you off to say, well, why wouldn't you like me? And, you know, create this other dilemma. So I appreciate you for bringing that up, Maurice, and I'm glad that you were able to speak up and let him know where your faults were and go ahead and reengage in the friendship, because you sexual identity has nothing to do with you being a cool person. I think people are fucking awesome, no matter what their sexual identity is. Okay? So, does anybody else want to chime in? I know I told you was going to be talking, Ms. Starbright, but you might have got lucky this week. You might have got lucky. Sis, do you want to comment with towards anything that Maurice Crossan has said?
No, I think you pretty much summed up everything. I'm appreciative that they, you know, were able to be authentic and transparent and, you know, their love and their point of view on, you know, I said everything, and no, I don't, they did wonderful, and your follow-up was great. I'm over here just like, oh, this is dope. This is dope.
Oh, wow. I thought you was going to take
it
home.
You know me. I can always wrap it up. I'm not like that. I mean, I feel that the conversation was a needed conversation, and this is probably something that we should consider after we come back from the break of maybe once a month, you know, adding a brother to the show. You know, there are different things going on in the world. All these mass shootings from the churches to the schools to the church, you know, everything else like that. It's something that's never going to go away. And, you know, this is definitely Black Sister Talk, and we are here for the empowerment of our sisters, you know, first and foremost, but without the brothers being our sisters. So, I mean, I just think that's something that we should consider. And I'm excited that Marvin, you know, was, you know, on the show today. We don't get a chance to really hear or know when the guys are listening, and this might be a good open door for us to continue to get more men, because without certain conversations, how are we going to change the narrative? You know, we can talk about it all day, but sometimes we need to really employ the people who the conversation is about. So So I think this was helpful, you know. Hopefully, you know, Marlon, and I know this was, I personally know Carlton, I know this is out of his comfort zone, and he did so, but that might mean that next time it's going to be out of another brother's comfort zone, and that's how we're going to build and engage, and that's what the platform's for. So, I mean, I think this was important. I think we had a target idea, but I think it hit on things that we can definitely, you know, grow on that's important for the community as a whole, you know, the basis of it all. So, I mean, I think it's wonderful, and I think we should just continue to be mindful as parents, as aunties, uncles, nanas, the whole nine, about not only conversations that we have around children, but words matter, and children pick them up, and I just don't understand how this goes over adults' heads. You in the car and you wondering why this child is throwing Lil Wayne better than Lil Wayne because he hears this song with you every time he goes to school. That's the same thing with positive affirmations. That's the same thing with saying, you know, boys, girls only wear dresses. The things that we are feeding into these children, even on a small mindset, you know, it's imperative to the young men and young women that they're going to be later. It shouldn't just be your daughter doing dishes. Your son should be doing dishes. It shouldn't be the wealth. It should be the understanding of just cleanliness. It should just be the understanding of a proper education. It should just be the understanding of etiquette, poise, and there's a time and a place for everything. I'm the queen of that. I am as intelligent as ignorant, and I claim it. Not one is better than the other. My intellect speaks for that part of Miss Stephanie, and my everyday Stephanie conversation friend is just a part of who I am as well. And I know how to handle and carry that, but that came at a price too. I just happened to have two parents who were very specific, but they were very specific in different ways because my dad is good all day. That's it. It's just street smart, and that's how it is. This is how the life's going to be, bam, bam, bam. My mother was like, okay, here goes regular world. Here goes society. Here goes the other stuff. Now, how do you manage to be able to do the, what they call it, y'all, the code switching? I'm the master at it. But that also happens with our children. Because the conversations that we're having now and how my sister and I speak in private circles and things of that nature, and then if you were seeing me in the classroom, you would be confused. You would be confused. I'm very honest. But I'm saying that because it's also representation even for my staff. You know, I have parents mm-hmm. that came in ready to fight me. I have parents with accolades, and I handle everybody the same. Now, people who know me personally are just in awe because different Stephanie handles things differently. But, for you know, it was also important for me to model for those teachers who were coming up. If you mm-hmm. got back right now and think about when I was 7 years old, you're going to have at least one memory that still sticks with you. When I was 13, you're going to have this one memory that still sticks with you. And whether you admit it or accept it or not, it definitely shapes the adult that you are. So imagine our young black men who are seeing their brothers who've gone to jail who really didn't do a crime. Why am I going to trust the police? And look at our young black men who have the teachers who are telling them that everybody loves Chris. That's a great show. That white racist teacher couldn't help but to dig at him every time. And the stereotype was so real because it was funny because we knew at least two people that she was talking about, but Chris wasn't that brother.
You understand me?
That still sticks with him to this day. We have to be mindful of what we are feeding our children. Look what it has done to us. Look what certain things, unbeknownst to our parents, or auntie or neighborhood auntie that has been said to us that maybe they didn't even think at the time was positioning us to have certain mindsets and be a certain individual, but it has. We have to be very mindful and try to do better, or we're going to keep having these conversations with no change. And that's what we're here for. We're here to help and grow. All right, Luana, you got it.
You better say that, sis. I appreciate you so much for even bringing up Everybody Hates Chris into the discussion, because look at all the trauma that brother had experienced. I'm not going to bring up the slaps more than just what I just said now, but Chris Rock is a perfect example of what that mental health looks like for a black man growing up and somebody a complete icon, you know, and seeing things outside of what he was adept to and having to overcome plenty of barriers. You know, so put some respect on the brother Chris Rock and in the Rock family name in general, because all them brothers is different. You know how they say, how we all grew up in the same house? Tony Rock, a gangster, and whoop somebody ass. That's one thing that's going to be done. If somebody mess with a little bro, I'm going to go sight. So that's the kind of love. That's the kind of love we want in our families, hell. I love the Rock family.
Absolutely. And in the community, because everybody is not, unfortunately, blessed to have that kind of supportive family. That's the other thing we have to be mindful about. So even when we're out in the stores and at the malls and we've seen so many kids cutting up, and it's not even safe to talk to children anymore like that for various reasons, but it's just the modeling. There are certain things I do at certain times because it's age appropriate, and I know that I know people in the community. Ooh, and I'm respected, so I have to represent, even when I don't feel like representing sometimes. But I need to see young ladies to see differently. That's what's important. You got to do it somewhere, because sometimes you're not going to see it at home. So then what? If you don't have any kind of modeling or representation anywhere, you know, then what do you do? It's levels to it. We are all responsible. You don't have to be a parent to parents.
Say that, sis.
We got to be better. We've got to be better for our babies.
We have less than 10 minutes left. Anybody that has not had an opportunity to chime in today, the lines are open. You are able to share any comments you may have for Ms. Stephanie, myself, Carlton, or Mr. Maurice, or Treva. Does anybody else have any questions or comments they want to add before we close out the show today? Okay. Well, let's get to it. Sis, you did a phenomenal job. I want to thank you for being on the show today as our special co-host. I want to thank Maurice for being so transparent with us about his experience with mental health, as well as Carlton. I know some of us already know Carlton, but even though we know him, it's still nice to hear him share his voice, because everybody that know my cousin, they see him, he be seen and not heard. He helps his big cousins, the ladies. He's a gentleman. He's all of those things. But he's also suffering in silence and going through a whole lot, and nobody would ever know because he doesn't talk about it. And he knows he needs to be seen and not heard. He knows he needs to get the job done. He knows he needs to show up. So he focuses on things instead of focusing on anything else as it relates to his emotions. So I'm happy that he was able to have an opportunity to just breathe with us today and share what that has been like for him. I also want to talk about therapy. For any man that's on the line this right now, if you haven't considered therapy, I hope that this is a conversation that has at least helped to plant a seed for you to begin to think about it, because it's not the end of the world to meet with a therapist. If you're listening to me, we got the week. You've already been in therapy the way I see it, because this is very much therapeutic. We're having conversations. We're hearing one another, and we're speaking to one another, not just to become, but what each other's experiences are. So it's very, very important that you take away some of the progress or the process of what therapy looks like. Most importantly, I want you to know that nobody's going to call you soft or call you a bitch-ass nigga or say you less than a man because you cry. I love having my male therapist come, my male clients come in. It makes me so proud to see men showing up and doing the work and becoming informed about what it is that they are going through, putting a name to their anxiety, their depression, their PTSD, their things that they thought were just things that they had to go through as men and keep going. Doesn't that sound very familiar to us women, how Carlton said earlier, like we go through things just like women do, but we handle it differently. what would it be like if men could handle their mental health just the way women do? Go and get some help. Some of them talk to their friends, but they be toxic too. So I'm not saying y'all should really talk to your friends. I'm saying go and get you a therapist or find yourself around men who you aspire to be like. That means putting yourself out there and humbling yourself. Say, hey, dude, I like the way you move. You mind if we hang out, we start dialoguing? Because a lot of the times that mentorship is just not there. And men are in that phase in life where they don't even know how to transition into manhood because most of them have been raised by women. And as much as the women have loved and nurtured on these babies, we cannot teach men how to be men. We teach men how to be players, how to get their needs met, how to be manipulative. And we teach them a lot of positive things, too. But as women, they can't pick up on some traits that they necessarily don't need to have as men because they use them differently and they use them in men ways. See what I'm saying? And if y'all got a comment about that, y'all can come in on that the next show. But I have to be honest with you guys when I speak and use my words. As far as us being more compassionate and empathetic with our young boys, let them know it's okay to have feelings. Don't shut them down. And if they want to explore their sexuality, let them do that too, because that's their right to do so. All right? Anybody have any questions for me, any comments, go ahead and send me a DM. Go ahead and engage with our social media platforms, like the Facebook page, Life Wellness and Counseling Services, like the Facebook page, The Black Sister Talk. Go ahead and like the Instagram pages, Lifting Individuals Forward, and like the Instagram page, Black Sister Talk. We'll also be on TikTok coming up in the summer, and we will be up in our ante with the YouTube page. Also want to let you guys know you can find us on your Apple platforms if you want to listen to any of the past shows as well. Otherwise, I hope that everyone enjoyed the show today. I felt like you guys all contributed such amazing information and things we all need to hear and reflect on afterwards. Other than that, I love you guys for joining us on Black Sister Talk for another week. We'll see you back here same time, same place next week, 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time. Go ahead and be great.
Drum, please.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme and put your car on cruise and lay back cause it's summertime. Buzz. But back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what habit is, the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody goes. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turn around and see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hit you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug, just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.